Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
While so much has changed this past year, there is at least one thing that hasn't. Sharks. Great whites are still being spotted along New England shores, with four detected just today in the water surrounding Block Island in Rhode Island. Oh, and there's jellyfish too, by the way. Giant jellyfish have been seen off the coasts of Maine, Cape Cod, and Rhode Island. Joining us now on the line is the shark guy in Massachusetts, Greg Skomel. He's a senior scientist at the Massachusetts Division of Maine Fisheries. Greg, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, it's nice to be here.
And out there, do you have questions about sharks or maybe jellyfish or other ocean creatures on Massachusetts shores? Or do you have any sightings you want to share with us, be it sharks or others? 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. So, Greg, four great whites in Rhode Island today. The Sharktivity app, and it's so cool that we have one, from the Atlantic White Shark Conservatory shows over 20 sightings in the past month. What is going on?
Well, what's going on is what normally goes on this time of year. You know, as our water temperatures, coastal water temperatures, warm up in the late spring and into the summer, summer visitors to the area include white sharks, as is the case with a number of fish species. So this is pretty much right on schedule. We would anticipate that the sharks will be showing up right about now, and people will be taking notice, and we get these reports.
So yesterday there was a video posted by the Atlantic White Shark Conservatory of a shark in very, very shallow water off the Lewis Bay area of southern Cape Cod, basically a shallow bowl, quote-unquote, of water. Did you see the video and what was going on there?
No, I did not. I did not see that video, but I will make it a point to look at it. I'm not sure what species. I doubt it was a white shark. My guess
the conservatory identified it, yes, as a sandbar shark. That's right. So can you tell us, what are they? What are sandbar sharks? Are they dangerous? Does one need to be concerned about them?
Well, you know, we tend to focus on white sharks because they get the most attention, but we got to also understand there's about a dozen or so species of sharks that visit our coastal waters, you know, from the smaller dogfishes, or sometimes referred to as sand sharks, to some larger sharks like the sandbar or the sand tiger. You know, you don't hear a lot about these fish because they're all, for the most part, extremely harmless. They're occasionally picked up by fishermen that are targeting them or targeting other species from the shoreline. But they're seasonal visitors here, too, and they take advantage of the rich waters that we have surrounding us that explode with life during the summertime.
Let's go to the phones, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to ask your question or tell us about your sighting. We've got Rob on the line from Malden. Rob, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I was just calling because I'm a scuba diver, and I'm curious about the threat of sharks and if there's a way to be updated on when the latest sightings were so I can be more cautious in my diving.
All right, let's turn to Greg for that.
Yeah, Rob, I appreciate the question. I'm a diver as well. And, you know, when it comes to risk or threat from sharks, all we really got to go on are the statistics. And the statistics clearly show that the probability of being bitten by a shark is extremely low. Very few, if any, scuba divers have been bitten in Massachusetts. I recommend if you're interested in shark sightings, we try to post them as quickly as we can to the Sharktivity app, which is a free app put out by the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy. I also caution people not to rely 100% on that app as a public safety application because, you know, those sightings are put up opportunistically. It doesn't mean there's somebody always watching any particular area that you might want to go in. But it does give you a sense of the general distribution of sharks around the Commonwealth.
And, Greg, what should someone do if they see a shark?
Well, for the most part, if you see a shark and you're worried about that shark and you think it's a dangerous shark, and really the only dangerous shark we're talking about here in Massachusetts is the white shark, you know, the other dozen species are harmless. So if it's one of those other species, like a sand tiger, a sandbar, even one of the dogfish, I would enjoy looking at it and take photos of it if you're underwater and scuba diving. But if you're nervous, you're concerned about what species it might be, try to remain calm and leave the water slowly, methodically. Don't splash. Just get out of the water.
Okay, and I'm going to ask a silly follow-up question. I think we're conditioned to think that all sharks are dangerous. So in that moment of anxiety, how does one determine whether it's one of the dangerous kinds or not?
Well, I mean, for folks who are going to be swimming in areas where they think they might encounter a white shark, you know, the great white shark, and that is the only real dangerous shark we have in Massachusetts waters in the summertime, I would suggest you become familiar with how to identify these species, you know, and also get a sense of where these animals are occurring. You know, we put a lot of our information up on the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy Facebook page. We put a lot through the Mass Division of Marine Fisheries showing the areas where white sharks occur. A lot of the media outlets cover it as well. You know, in particular, the Outer Cape is where we see the highest densities of white sharks. So if I were to be swimming in the Outer Cape area, I would probably proceed with caution as opposed to other parts of the state.
Let's grab another call here, 1-800-423-8255. We've got Robert on the line from Westport. Robert, go ahead.
Hi, thank you. My question is about jellyfish, and I have a sailboat in Westport, Mass. And it seems to be a this-year phenomenon that the big, large red jellies came out in full bloom. And as you guys know, probably they sting a lot. They hurt, and they kind of interrupt my swimming ritual, if you will. But I grew up with them in Long Island in Sag Harbor many, many, many years ago, and now all of a sudden I'm seeing them here. Is this a result of climate changes and water temperature changes? Because I've never seen them down here before. I mean, I've been here, say, 8-9 years.
Okay, Robert, thanks for that. And Greg, if you'll sit tight, I want to bring in a voice who can help us answer that question and also talk about the jellyfish. Here with us is Chris Dollar. He's supervisor of changing exhibits at the New England Aquarium. He's been with the aquarium for 15 years and has worked with jellyfish that whole time. Welcome to you, Chris.
Thank you.
So I'm guessing you can answer Robert's question just there.
Yeah, the one he's referring to, it's the one that's making the news quite a bit lately. That's the lion's mane jellyfish. It's got that real dark red appearance. And the answer is that they're actually pretty common in New England. They stretch all the way up into the Arctic, and they can go all the way down the coast. This year, like he said, we've been seeing quite a number of them, and they've been getting quite big. So you know, whereas last year we didn't see too many, they were there, but this year there's just been an outbreak. So we can see them right out our windows from the aquarium. We can see them in Boston Harbor.
And there are some big ones, Chris. A colleague of mine actually texted me just before the show a picture of one that his wife saw just off the front of her kayak. You saw a 5-foot long lion's mane. So what is going on? We are seeing more. They are bigger. Why is that, and how dangerous are they?
Yeah, it's the question that everybody's asking, why so big and why so many? And we just don't really have a good answer at this point. They need to eat. So if I had to make an educated guess, it's that there's more food in the water, more food available to them. They eat mostly plankton. They also eat other jellies in the water. And whatever's out there is enough to sustain them and get them to those huge sizes. Typically in New England, the lion's mane doesn't get much more than, say, dinner plate size. But like you said, we've had reports come in that they've been 4 and 5 feet wide. And that's typical more in the colder climates, so further north of here, not so much in Massachusetts and surrounding areas.
So let me bring Greg Skomel back into the conversation as well. I don't know if the two of you have ever met before, but let me ask you both. The other part of Robert's question out of Westport was climate change. Are we seeing any changes of behavior in either of these species, or are increasing awareness and coexistence with them right along the shore that has to do with climate change? Greg, maybe you can go first.
No, that's fine. Sure. You know, there's been a tendency because of what is perceived as a sudden explosion in white sharks. There's been a tendency to think that climate change is associated with that. But I you know, based on all the data we've got, what we're seeing is highly correlated with the repopulation, the recolonization of our areas by seals as a result of conservation and regulations that were put in place decades ago. So really what the white shark, what's happening with white sharks is they're moving in closer to shore to take advantage of a robust seal population upon which they feed. I think what's going to be interesting with regard to climate change is how warming waters, in particular the Gulf of Maine, changes the distribution of the seals, because they tend to be temperate animals that prefer cooler areas, and how that impacts sharks down the road. So that'll be interesting and certainly something worth watching.
And Chris, actually, we had a tweet question come in before we're going to run out of time soon, so I want to get this one in. It said, we were walking around Lob Lolly Cove in Rockport at the end of May and found a large gelatinous mass draped around the rocks at low tide. If it hadn't been so huge, I would have said it was a jellyfish. Is that possible?
Based on everything we're hearing, it's absolutely possible. We've seen pictures of them washing up on beaches that, you know, people are lying down next to them to get some perspective, and they're definitely in the 4 and 5 feet wide range. So it wouldn't surprise me at all.
So Chris, before I go back to Greg one more time, there is one other question I want to ask you, and this is actually about the aquarium itself. How are the animals? You know, we've seen lots of viral videos about penguins at various aquaria around the country. There's an adorable penguin cam at the New England Aquarium. But they've been without interaction, sort of their visual stimulation of people through the aquarium for quite a while now. How are they doing?
I would say everybody's doing great. But the good news is we've had a dedicated staff of animal care folks here throughout the pandemic. So we've been interacting with the animals just like normal. Everything's gotten extremely wonderful care during this time while we've been shut down, but we're also very excited to have visitors revisit the aquarium once we reopen next week.
And Greg Skomel, back to you. I know you get asked this question all the time, but since we're headed into our beach weather or firmly in it now, I'm going to ask you again. What is your message for beachgoers this summer?
Well, you know, I always say, you know, similar things, and that is it's really important that people understand we've evolved on land, we're terrestrial animals, and anytime we go in the ocean, it's a challenging environment for us. So know your own strengths and weaknesses in the ocean. Know what lives there. You know, these big jellyfish sting, and people ought to watch out for those. There may be sharks in those areas, particularly along the Outer Cape, that are feeding in shallow water close to seals. And also realize there's riptides and currents that are extremely dangerous and have certainly taken more lives than sharks and jellyfish. So know your strengths and weaknesses in the ocean.
All right, that's Greg Skomel, Senior Scientist at the Massachusetts Division of Marine Fisheries, and Chris Dollar, Supervisor of Changing Exhibits at the New England Aquarium. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.